Why so negative? Why are we so obsessed with being negative? Before you discount this idea completely, think about the stories you see in the news. Whether you're browsing headlines on your favorite news site, or still enjoy finding out what's going on in the world by watching the news on TV or indulging in a newspaper, you're going to find one glaring thing in common. We seem to love bad news. In fact, the negative news stories far outnumber the positive ones, which usually get kind of buried back where they're hard to find, with the odd exception generally found in the human interest pieces. In our personal lives, we likewise get caught up in the negative things going on from day to day over the positive. Even planning for life events such as the birth of a child or a wedding can very quickly devolve into worry over the aspects of the situation that can go wrong. If we're staying on the positive side of things fairly well, you'll find any number of people willing to bring you down through stories of their own disastrous wedding vows or hair-raising tales of just how difficult it is to be a parent. How does this happen? Why is negativity so easy? I'm not negative. We start when we begin by denying the negativity exists in the first place. When we start thinking this is just how life is, that the bad is just status quo, nothing necessarily is going to get any better. But isn't that just how things are? We focus on things such as politics, the economy, our personal lives, and justify things by telling ourselves things like this have happened before. It's how the world works, isn't it? This particular trap is made worse when we become defensive when challenged in our beliefs. We don't really want to hear things could be better. Why? Because when we do, it means something needs to be fixed. No one wants to hear that there's work to do to make things better. It's all just so much easier if things are fine the way they are. We don't have a problem. This belief extends to our relationships with others. We put up with angst, anger, and abuse, so we don't have to confront a situation with someone else or accept something that is dreadfully wrong. To do this, we paste on a smile and tell ourselves maybe we are the ones with the problem if we're unhappy. Perhaps if we just tried harder. I like being alone. Enjoying solitary activity is one thing. Hiding from the world is quite another. When we stay in rather than go out, it's because we don't want to deal with new situations or people. We find the world complicated and vastly simplify things by not dealing with it at all. Over time, we find less and less reason to go out, descending into depression, and discovering, after a while, it has become even harder to leave. Talking to people becomes complicated, and our social skills get rusty. We're alone with our thoughts, inviting obsession, especially into the world of the negative. I'm fine the way I am. When we no longer work to improve ourselves, we grow stagnant. Negativity breeds where there's nothing new to challenge it. We stay in the same patterns over and over, including indulging in bad habits and negative behaviors, some of which might be damaging. It becomes easier to escape into the world of drugs and alcohol than it is to change your life situation. Negativity creeps in, growing cycles of self-blame followed by self-medication. You know you should be doing more with your life. But by this point, you don't know where to begin, nor do you have the energy to try. I'm too busy for that. It's so easy to get busy. Eating right? Enough hours of sleep? Both are impossible when your schedule is already full. How many meals have you skipped to work through lunch? When is the last time you exercised? The problem is, the less you care for your physical needs, the fewer resources you leave your body to deal with the task of living. You lose focus and energy alike. You feel weak and lethargic and start dragging. The mood drops, in part because of low blood sugar, but also from poor diet and lack of exercise. The brain requires nutrition and stimulation, but you're not giving it either. Thoughts go downhill. I don't need anyone. Asking for help has become something of a thing to be ashamed of in some circles. We're raised to be self-sufficient, to manage things on our own. The problem is, not everything can be done without help. Nor can every problem be solved by one person. We work best in teams, where we can brainstorm solutions. Trying to manage without help leads to frustration. Frustration culminates in resentment and anger. We don't ask for help, but then we get mad when no one is offering. Life becomes impossible and negative moods rise. What's wrong with my friends? If your mood isn't good when you're with them, plenty. Some friends live to drag you down. They want to be the center of your universe and don't like competition. People like this will refuse to listen to your problems and are always more than willing to show you how much worse they have it. Around this kind of narcissist, you feel invisible or unheard. Or worse, you have friends who like to find the flaw in your plans. They tell you all the ways you're doing something wrong, usually under the guise of friendly advice. In truth, their job is to destroy dreams and keep you right where you are. The last thing they want is for you to succeed, because it would prove they could have succeeded, had they tried. So as long as you fail, they're justified in not taking the risk themselves. Is it any wonder you're feeling negative when you hang around people like that? Yikes, with so many reasons to be negative, it's no wonder positivity can be so hard. Let's move on to discover how this all impacts self-talk, including some long-term ramifications of listening to negative self-talk.